I'm all about activity engagement. So with the occupational therapist, really, like we talked about, the concern is being able to do the things that you want to do and really do the things that are meaningful to you, and ultimately look at, we want to improve your quality of life. And with my presence in the clinics, due to the fact that so much of it is kind of almost a one-time shot, in the sense that I see somebody maybe on their initial visit and then I'll do a periodic follow-up, what I like to do is really get that person armed with a lot of resources and education, so then that way really make them more of an advocate of their care. So a lot of the objectives that I have in mind for today are really kind of focusing on what has been tried, because I know this is kind of a broad overview, what has been tried out there to help with essential tremor, and then really look at, does the evidence support those interventions, and what does the evidence say about those interventions, and then look at other alternatives that we can consider and address those coping strategies. So just to kind of give you a broad overview about the interventions that have been tried, in the past, people have done research on tremor-suppressing orthotics. And basically, when I did a lot of background information, there were three studies that really stood out. One of the studies was really more of a writing device. The other are what were considered exoskeletal devices, which those basically are almost splints, if you could call them that, that would be on the forearm. A lot of the tremor-suppressing orthotics will typically have weights that are strategically placed in that orthotic, and the idea is to kind of weight the hand down to see how that response on tremor is. And basically, what the study have shown is that when the orthotic is in place, there is reduction in tremor. However, once it's removed, there's little to no effect on tremor. And so just what, from a qualitative side, or basically feedback from the clients that were wearing the orthotics, what they were finding is that it was really bulky in nature, and so a lot of individuals would use it more in-home, but when doing things outside the home, because of the bulkiness, they were choosing not to wear it. Also, cost is a factor. I do know that some insurances have started covering part of that orthosis, but not in its entirety, so that is always something to consider. And then, again, availability is also a factor, because with the writing device that was studied, that is actually no longer available. So that is just kind of something to consider. Another study that was done was looking at strength training programs and their effect on tremor. And basically what they did was they isolated it to the index finger. So they did a strength training program specifically for the index finger of the individuals that participated. And the idea was that they were hoping that with the strength training that the individual could hold the index finger steady for 1 minute. And then what they also looked at is some kind of functional participation. So they had the individuals drawing spirals, holding beakers of water, and then completing a questionnaire as it related to their activities of daily living to see if with that strength training program there was any improvement. And the training was completed over a 4-week process. And basically what the findings of that study were is that it did improve strength. However, they did not note any reduction in tremor. So while, yes, it did help as far as strength did or went, reduction in tremor wasn't noticed. And another study basically looked at limb cooling. And what the study did was it looked at having individuals immerse their hand and forearm in 15 degrees Celsius water, which basically equates to 59 degrees Fahrenheit, and sustain it in the water for 5 minutes. And, of course, then what they would do is they would take it out to have the individual take the arm out of the water and look to see the effect on tremor every 5 minutes for up to a 30-minute period. And so what they were finding in doing this study is that while it did for a short time, up to about 30 minutes, reduce tremor, there was no long-term effect from that. And basically what the findings suggested is that by immersing the hand in such cold water, which to me I feel is very extreme, was that it would kind of stop that peripheral nerve pathway and slow it down, so then that way it would help control the tremor. But like I said, I feel like that is kind of extreme. The next study that I looked at was more on the use of functional electrical stimulation and how tremor responded to the use of eSTEM. And basically, just to describe functional electrical stimulation, it's the use of electrodes that are positioned on specific muscle groups, and pretty much the bulk of the muscle is where you focus the electrode placement. And then it's a small electrical current that's applied, that the idea is for individuals like myself, when I used it in acute care environments, it was to elicit a contraction. And for this, it was used to hopefully reduce or basically kind of interrupt that contraction, so then that way you wouldn't have that constant tremor. And so what they found was that they applied the electrodes to the muscle bellies of the extensors, which they were feeling were contributing to the tremor. And what they found is that it did not have any long-term effect. And so they did see that there was some reduced signal reported, so it means that amplitude of tremor actually did lessen, but over time it didn't sustain. The unfortunate thing, and what I have often found in practice, is that with the use of eSTEM, for a lot of individuals, it can be quite startling. And so there were several individuals that had participated in the study that described the startling effect of this approach. But I just wanted to throw it out there as what has been looked at. Another study looked at vibration therapy. And with vibration therapy, there were two different methods of delivery. One was the use of kind of like the vibration probes that you could find that were really popular about 10, 15 years ago and you still occasionally see today. And they applied that directly to the wrist extensor belly, which basically is kind of your upper forearm, kind of on the back side of your arm. And then they did also a study on whole body vibration. So they used a vibrating chair, just like as if you were going to the salon and getting a pedicure, that kind of vibrating chair. And they wanted to see with the use of vibration if there was any reduction in that tremor amplitude, such as what they were looking at with the use of the eSTEM. And what they were finding is that with that protocol, they were attempting to do 10 minutes of the vibration followed by 10 minutes of rest. And they did see a reduction in tremor that was reported. However, the long-term effect didn't show that it sustained over time, but there was an effect there on reduction of tremor. Another study, which I think what I find most commonly used out in practice, is looking at weighting the limb. And so the idea behind it is that you apply weights to the wrist and see by kind of overriding that tremor if then you could participate in things you want to participate. And so with this particular study, the individuals that participated, they were individually assessed to look to see how much weight was needed to truly reduce the tremor. And so what they were finding is that 18 individuals that participated felt that tremor was reduced and that it was making a marked difference in their ability to perform certain tasks at home and work. And then 12 individuals of those that reported significant reduction were followed over a six-month period and continued to report improvement. So basically overall, with the use of the limb weights, what they're finding is some good responses, but again, it can be very individual and it doesn't work for everyone. And then there's two more studies I'm going to report on. One of the last studies was bright light therapy. And basically, bright light therapy is kind of like, for lack of a better word, it's kind of like a little mood light that you put in your room. I've seen a lot of people use it in offices, that kind of thing. And what they did was they had that light and they used it for 14 days. And overall, what they were hoping is that by suppressing melatonin production, that it would then minimize tremor. And basically, with the use of the bright light therapy, what the studies demonstrated was that there was a small effect on tremor. The last study that I'm going to talk about is the use of transcranial magnetic stimulation. And basically, what they did was pretty much holding magnets over the head, and they completed this for 4 consecutive days. And what they found is that there was no improvement noted whatsoever on tremor, so it really wasn't effective in addressing that. And one thing I did not mention ahead of time when reporting the studies, but one thing I think is worth mentioning, is that all of the studies, the individuals were still going through their medication regimen or whatever treatments they were doing, and so these interventions were in addition to. So I felt that that was something worth mentioning. And then just to kind of be something to kind of look for in the horizon is when looking at the different devices, Telehealth is actually looking to investigate and do some research on a tremor-suppressing device. Really, the specifics haven't been made available, but that is going to be coming to the forefront, and so that is something to kind of, if interested, to kind of contact Patrick or Dr. Lyons about. So, yeah. So basically, I wanted to give you all this background information to kind of say, hey, this is what's been tried, this is what's available, this is what's out there. But really, you're probably asking yourselves, what does this all mean? And basically, what it all means is that people are truly individual. There is not one thing that works for everyone. And what we were able to see when I was kind of going through some of that research is that there is no true lasting effect on a lot of the studies. And so as an occupational therapist, you know, because there's a lot of clients that come to me and ask, Kelly, what can I do? What can I do? And sometimes what I find is it's not always about what type of intervention, such as light therapy or vibration or functional e-stem can I try, as much as how can we modify the task? You know, because really when it comes down to it, what you want is to have that engagement like I had talked about earlier. And so I like to look at it is not trying to fix the person as much as I'm trying to fix the task for the person and make things easier. So there are several different ways that this can be done. And so there are like 5 key principles to consider when looking to do any type of task modification. And, of course, we're going to go into these principles to some detail. And what these principles are is, one, looking to stabilize the objects involved. The second principle is to reduce demands. The third principle is conserve energy. The fourth principle is to promote success. And the fifth principle is to use technology as you find it beneficial. So some of the useful techniques, regardless of the principles that you apply, are always consider proper body mechanics. Because with proper body mechanics, what will be found is that you're going to reduce the stress on your arms and hands. And with stress reduction, that will help minimize the tremor. Other things that you want to look at are maintaining core stability. So when looking at core stability, you want to support arms and your back. And with that, by having a stable core, what you'll be able to do is increase the ability to control some of the movements, and you'll ultimately increase task efficiency. The other thing is to really consider supporting those elbows, so like placing them on counters, tables, armrests, and also possibly using one hand to support the other if necessary. So going back to the 5 key principles, the first would stabilize the object. And so things that are available that can help with this are using non-skid surfaces. I often will recommend to the clients I'm working with is like the shelf liner that's available out there is considered kind of a non-skid surface. And if it's a thing of plates, those kinds of things, you can put them on that material and keep the plate from sliding. Other things that you can think about are if you're doing any writing, you can use a clipboard to keep that paper stable. There are things and a lot of adaptive equipment out there that looks at, like, if you're looking at brushing your teeth, that kind of thing, things to look at mounting, you know, suction cups as available to really secure things. And I've seen a lot of people use some varying devices. As far as reducing demands, what we have found is for some, weighted utensils work really well when you're trying to do any type of eating. I often do a lot of, and not that it works for everyone, but in the clinic, we do liftware trials, which is a basically eating utensil that has anti-tremor software in that, and so that it looks at going the opposite direction of what it's detecting the tremor to be going, and so hoping to stabilize the spoon or fork. I've looked at other ways to hold the fork in an effort to see if that would help things, looking at different types of door handles. So basically, instead of the use of handles, look at using levers, using Velcro instead of dealing with buttons, those kinds of things. And so, yeah. And then the next principle was conserve energy. And the big thing to consider here is remembering to take rest periods, sit instead of standing as it's appropriate. And, of course, when you're trying to transport items, you're wanting to really slide versus carry. And with that and conserving energy, I focus a lot on truly also adequate rest, because if you're not getting good sleep, you're not fully rested, which then could lead to bodily stress, which then ultimately will increase the tremor. Other things that I also look at are, you know, what's that level of anxiety that could be factoring in. Anything that makes an individual anxious will ultimately impact tremor as well. So kind of looking to do that. And then, of course, promoting success are when looking at a task, look at, is there a way that I can do this task that maybe changing up the task a little bit, which would make me more successful. So things that I have recommended are using glasses that have covers to them. So a lot of, like, the water bottles that are so popular have lids that can actually close, using straws with soup type items if truly the weighted utensils and those kinds of things and the straws, or not the straw, but the weighted utensils don't work in helping to manage tremor for, like, eating soups. What I've also suggested are filling glasses halfway full, so then that way you're with the tremor, it's not potentially spilling over the top if it is a glass that does not have a lid. What some people have also done is they have where, especially like on a plate, you can use a plate guard if that's helpful to kind of get things on a spoon or fork. So those are just different strategies. And then, of course, using technology. And with the use of technology, it doesn't have to be anything real, you know, high fidelity, hi-fi or Wi-Fi. It can be the use of electric mixers instead of a hand, or use of electric mixer instead of a hand mixer. It can be use of the electric can openers versus the hand can openers, the use of electric toothbrush. There are also adaptive keyboards that are available, which we have a program here, and I know that there are other programs in other cities that look to address computer access. And so they have a keyboard that's more, it's called Easy Keys. And, of course, Easy Keys, when you put it in, it brings up a lot of different keyboards. But it's a keyboard that has an overlay that actually has where over the actual letters and numbers, it has like holes that you would have to deliberately be going in to hit. So it, what it, the idea behind it is it minimizes the event of hitting other keys and attempting to get to one key. What it does do, though, is it will slow the typing down because of the fact that you are basically targeting specific keys when doing so. But then I often find, too, that there is really good software out there that is like voice-activated software that is available that you could try if the typing became too challenging, that kind of thing. So those are definitely things that could all be looked at. There's also some common, and granted, like I said, everyone's different, and it really is beneficial if you are having some difficulty somewhere to contact an occupational therapist and say, hey, what can be done? But different, like, household items can also be used instead of, like, thinking I have to go out and buy all this equipment. Sorry. I have seen people using washers and bolts to add weight and adjust different types of equipment just so then that way you're using what's available at home and not going out and putting in a huge expense in. I've seen the use of paper clips to be used as a zipper pull managing that. And, again, like I had talked about earlier, the use of shelf liner as an opportunity to create a non-skid surface. So we've covered a lot about task kind of modification. And then, of course, now I want to spend the next few minutes kind of talking about some coping strategies. And this is where, like I said, a huge role of mine in the clinics is really educating the individuals and kind of like what I've done today is go through what is the research that has been done, what are strategies to help. And in doing that, also, that'll give you an opportunity to explore possible resources. And so, like, the International Essential Tremor Foundation is a huge resource. There's definitely resources when it comes down to, like, when I was talking about the various equipment out there. Patterson Medical is a website that basically the way the website is designed is it's set up to address certain tasks. Excuse me. And it gives you an opportunity to kind of go and see what equipment's out there. But like I said, when it comes down and you're really looking at different pieces of equipment, I'm all about try before you buy. And so that's where it may be of benefit to seek out a referral to an occupational therapist to do an individualized evaluation and see what might be an appropriate fit for you. Also, one of the best coping strategies is to create awareness. I've often heard many times in clinic where individuals will, like I said earlier, start to kind of restrict some of the things that they do. And when we really talk about it, it's maybe due to anxiety they may feel in, like, leaving the home, those kinds of things. And so I really encourage individuals because oftentimes they're talking about how they feel they're being perceived. And I will tell them this is a perfect opportunity to create awareness and that the more people know about essential tremor, the more they'll be able to provide that support. And so I really try to encourage people really talking about it and telling, educating others that really don't know about it kind of what they're going through. And so then that way people can kind of, you know, be able to support you in whatever way is necessary. Also, other coping strategies, and I brought that up earlier, is looking at ways to reduce stress. So definitely relaxation strategies, use of biofeedback, use of support groups, engagement in whatever method you have to help reduce stress, that is okay. So then that way you can kind of help reduce some of that. So, yeah, because what we have found is that anxiety and stress really make tremor more amplified and make it more difficult for you as an individual to engage in tasks. So, yeah, just to kind of recap, what I hope I was able to do is really kind of share with you things that have been tried in the past, and some of you may have tried these, and some of you, maybe this is the first time you're hearing about it, and then just kind of let you hear about, you know, kind of what role OT or occupational therapy may play in care of essential tremor, and then just kind of provide you some of those resources. So what I'd like to do now is just kind of open it up to questions.
Yeah, that's perfect. So thanks, Kelly. So let's go ahead and open it up for questions for Kelly. We got about 30 minutes left on the call that we can do this. So here's how it works. If you want to ask a question to Kelly, press *5 on your phone now. And when you hear a voice telling you that your phone's been unmuted, that means you can go ahead and ask your question. And after you complete your question, we're going to go ahead and mute your phone so we can get as many questions as possible in before our time runs out. So just a reminder, since Kelly is an occupational therapist, she's not going to be answering any questions regarding medications or treatment options. So let's go ahead and get started with our questions. So go ahead and hit *5 on your phone if you have a question for Kelly, and we'll get started. So first caller, are you there?
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
You still there? Nope, I think we lost her.
Uh-oh.
Anybody else have a question for Kelly? Hello?
Hello?
There you are. Yeah, go ahead and ask your question.
Okay. About a year ago, I was reading about an occupational therapist in New York that was experimenting with a glove for essential tremor, that she had quite some success for her client as far as eating and different things. Are you aware of that?
My thought is, and granted, I don't know the specifics behind the therapist in New York, but I'm wondering if that glove wasn't what was considered one of the tremor-suppressing orthotics. Do you know specifics about that glove?
I think she got muted, Kelly.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I don't know if it was at no time in the article was it called an orthotic.
Okay. Yeah, because oftentimes, like, what people refer to as those gloves are those tremor-suppressing orthotics that they refer to as a glove. And I'm wondering if that was what was being used. And oftentimes, there's two different types of gloves that have been basically put on the market. One is the one that I was kind of sharing with you in the research that has those weights that are strategically placed to kind of see where could they place them to kind of do some suppression. And then, of course, some of them in the glove format look at the use of the E-stem, that they have the electrodes applied and they're providing that stimulation to try to reduce tremor. So I'm wondering if that glove had one of those two elements in it to help with tremor reduction.
You know, one other thing, Kelly, that, and you met her, I think, at our event when here in Overland Park, there's a lady who has a product called the Ready Steady Glove, which I think is kind of what you're talking about.
Yes, yes.
And she's based down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, actually. That if you all want to look it up, I think it's Ready, R-E-D-D-I, I think, Ready Steady Glove is, and she's working on getting that thing to the market, I know.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
The weights, yeah.
Yeah, she does use the weight. So, okay, any next question for Kelly? You there, caller?
Yes, I have a question regarding voice tremor.
Okay.
It seemed like Kelly's things she covered were mostly having to do with hand tremor, and I'm wondering how much study or how many different techniques have been applied to see if anything works for voice tremor.
You know, that actually would probably be a better question for a speech-language pathologist because they work so much in that vocal quality, and I know that there are a lot of things basically out there in the research, but since I primarily work with participation and activities of daily living, that is not something I looked at specifically for this presentation.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. Great. Next question. Are you there, Colin?
Pardon?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead and ask your question for Kelly.
Okay, my question is, the last 6 months, I have started to tremor in my right leg. What is that?
You've started to tremor in your, so you have tremors in both
in the
arms?
In the right leg.
So the tremor is just...
I've had a sense of tremor for years, but this is something new because my leg had never tremored.
Right. And have you seen a neurologist for this?
No, I haven't yet because, as I say, I've had another big blow health-wise. So.
Oh.
But I thought with this opportunity, you might know what that is.
You know, that, to me, with that sight unseen, I really don't. I would say this would be a good question to talk with your neurologist because it could be something about, you know, what's happening with you, because you said you'd had a big health event. So I'm
I was diagnosed with Sjogren's syndrome a couple of years ago. So I've had a real hard blow with that. But it's just been the last 6 months at this leg, and it happens when I don't seem to be, I seem to be standing on my left leg and not the right.
So you're tending to put more weight on your opposite leg?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that would definitely be worth having somebody look at that in the clinic, honestly.
Okay.
To kind of see what's truly going on.
Okay. All right. Thank
you. You're welcome.
Okay. Next question for Kelly.
Hi, this is Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
Gyro glove. Have you heard of that gyro glove? It's supposed to use some kind of like spiraling gyro techniques that helps opposite to the tremor. It learns your tremor and works opposite it. Maybe that's what that lady was asking about in the beginning.
And that could be,
I was contacted by the University of Pennsylvania, and they have a group that's working on this there, and a group in England.
Okay.
Yeah. So I guess it's probably coming in the future.
And I would definitely keep your eye on for that, because with the gyro glove, it's been used a lot for individuals with Parkinson's, but not necessarily individuals that have been diagnosed with essential tremor.
And the gyro glove folks have contacted us and asked us and help and talk about them, and they are based in the UK, and they're basically just in the demo stage. They don't have a set product right now, but they're working on a prototype is our understanding.
Gotcha.
Okay, next question for Kelly.
Yes, this is Ben. I'd like to have a question.
Go ahead, Ben.
A lot of things that Kelly said I've used. I'm 82, and they've been helpful. One of the biggest help has been making people aware. I was very sensitive throughout my life about the tremor because people who are alcoholics have tremors. People who have weaknesses have tremors. And that was kind of the way people looked at me. So now I just simply say that it runs in the family. We've had it in our family in four generations that I can trace back. And I was born with it. And it seems like that helps people understand, and they feel more comfortable, and I feel more comfortable. This leads me to this other thing. I have done genealogical research, and I've traced this tremor back to a number of generations and particular people. It does seem to be, in my opinion, connected with genetics. And all of these other things sound fine, but they're kind of Band-Aid and magical medicine type things, where what we really need to do is get to the heart of things. And I think one clue there is, if this is going through a family for four or five generations, then I think it's tied in with genetics.
Kelly, you want that one?
Well, my the research I've done is there is a familial component to it. So, yeah.
Yeah, and our information says the same thing, that it's about 50% hereditary a lot of the times. We also know, I think it might be Dr. Lewis, Elon Lewis, I think he's at Yale now, is doing a study on brain donations and following the tracking family history of this thing to try to pinpoint exactly what that gentleman, what Ben was talking about. Okay. Next question for Kelly.
Hello.
Hello.
My question, hello, is on the technology that comes with a speaking device for your computer.
Okay.
And if you're familiar with this, I've gotten it. It works and it doesn't work.
Yeah. With a lot of the software out there, granted they continue to improve it, but there is always a learning curve to it. The typical software does make it a little bit more challenging when trying to do any type of typing, if you're using it to do any typing, because you're having to give it a lot of direction. Also, my findings have been is because it is voice-activated, it is sensitive to change in voice. And therefore, if you get a cold or if your voice changes for any reason, it definitely starts to basically malfunction, you know, or not operate correctly. So, yes, it is very sensitive. They also have
Dragon system.
Yeah, the Dragon system. They also do have, and Tobii is the manufacturer of it, so it because the voice activated has become so challenging, they've come out with more of a optical operated software, so it does eye movement tracking. But then again, if the tremor is affecting the head, that would probably not be the best software. But yeah, so there are options out there. And I know Dragon is constantly trying to improve their product, but that has been the biggest complaint of any change in voice really affects the operation of it.
Okay. Next question for Kelly.
This is Mary Ellen.
Hi, Mary Ellen.
Does ET affect any certain part of your body, mainly upper body or mainly one part of the body?
I have primarily seen ET's effect in more upper body and neck. So more of hands and neck is where I've seen more of the effect from essential tremor.
All right. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Next question for Kelly.
Hello. Kelly,
hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
This is Monica. I have difficulty in writing, especially if I have to sign in at, example, exercise classes where you have a line waiting on me. And I don't know if that is added stress why it's difficult to write. In other words, you could make up my name.
Right.
I'm wondering if ET is a precursor to Alzheimer's.
Now, I didn't understand that last sentence. You're wondering if ET is a precursor to what?
Alzheimer's.
That I have not heard.
We have never heard through any of our information that we receive that there's any connection between those two either. Next question for Kelly.
Yes, I would like to know whether a symptom of ET is, as I'm walking along on the sidewalk, I feel like I'm being pulled from one side to another. And I'm wondering if this is a common symptom of essential tremor. I have the tremors when I'm eating with both hands, but I'm unaware of the walking, the pull.
Yeah, I have not heard that ever really reported. My thought, have you ever seen a physical therapist to do any type of gait analysis?
No, I haven't. And it's almost like a magnet.
Like a magnet drawing you, huh?
Yeah. And at first I thought, well, it's just to one side, but it's not. And when people are walking behind me, I should say, must wonder why I'm veering back and forth. And I was just wondering whether that had anything to do with my essential tremor.
Now, is the essential tremor, the tremors that you're experiencing, exclusive to your arms?
Yes.
And in your estimation?
Eating. It's when I get about eating 3 or 4 inches from my mouth that it really goes bad.
Okay. Because when you're walking, what do you notice of your hands?
Nothing. My hands are fine because they're down. My hands, I can hold my hands out straight.
Mm-hmm.
The only time that my hands shake is I get close
to
my mouth.
When you're trying to get close to your mouth.
Yeah.
You know, I would definitely have a gait analysis. I don't think it's correlated.
Okay. Yeah, I hadn't heard. And I remember when I did walk down the, but I can force myself to be straight. But I have to force myself.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, well that's.
Thank you. Next question for Kelly.
Hello.
Hello.
Mike, am I on?
Yes, sir.
Oh, very good. Okay, a couple of points. I find one of the greatest things that helps is a two-handled cup or mug. A mug makes certain it's full size. Like go on Amazon and a two-handled cup like the kids use. A sippy mug, but that's great. And also, heavy cutlery you can buy. And when I find I'm eating with a fork and a spoon, that helps a lot. Also, if I'm not ashamed of it. When I go to normally a doctor's office and you've got forms to fill in, I'll ask for help, and people are helpful. And writing. Well, it's my right hand, which I'm 81, but I'm not doing too bad. I put my, my left finger on to hold the pen steady, and that helps a lot. And signatures, as for signatures, a little squiggle now. I mean, I used to have a good signature. Now it's a squiggle, but the squiggle seems to work.
Good.
Okay.
Useful information, yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question for Kelly. Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, this is Joyce.
Hi, Joyce.
And I was wondering if I have a bed that's got a vibrator in it. And when I turn that on, it seems to even shake my head. Now, is that something I should not be using?
So, okay, so you're in the bed and you're using it and it's vibrating. What happens when you get out of the bed?
Nothing. But I just was wondering if that vibration would be making my head worse and my tremors worse. If I put my hands under my head, between my head and the pillow, then it doesn't get the vibration in the head.
Okay. You know,
but,
I don't think that the way the beds are designed, I think they're the vibration beds, I think, have more been designed for relaxation and not really as a tool to try to do any tremor reduction per se. And so my thought is, the hope is that you're relaxing with the use of the bed. And I think that the question would be is, with the effect that you're experiencing on your head, is that causing undue stress? That's what I don't know for you. So that is, you know, because if you're experiencing things when you get out of the bed, then I would say definitely take that into consideration. But I don't know, when you're in the bed, is it uncomfortable? Is it?
Okay, I think we dropped her, Kelly. Let's go ahead and go to our next question.
Hi, I'm Lucille, and I'd like to know, hi, if there's anything I can use around the house to weight my hand.
If you're just wanting to weight your hand, cuff weights.
To instead of the glove with the weights in it, is there anything
yes.
I can use in the house that
is
would
there
mechanically weight it?
Is there something particular you're wanting to do?
Brush my teeth.
Okay. The concern with some of, like, with the Ready glove that we were talking about, the Ready Steady glove that has the weights, is it can be somewhat bulky in nature.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And not to say that it won't work, but to see, and that's where it'd be beneficial if, you know, once that's released, to try it and see, could you hold a toothbrush? Could you eat with utensils with that glove in place?
Right.
You know, and that's just with any orthotic. You know, what some people have done and what I have done in clinics is I used to just get cuff weights and put them around the wrist, which would free up the hand.
What kind of weights were those? I'm sorry.
They're called wrist weights. They're like
wrist weights.
Wrist weights that you would
when
find
you're exercising?
In. Right, right.
Yeah.
And so, and granted, the weight would be determined by what the effect was on the person. So it's not like I can say, oh, it's always
right.
going to be a 2-pound weight or a
right.
1-pound weight or a 3-pound weight. It would really be, how does it affect?
And the lifeware or liftware spoon that's weighted or that,
no,
that just?
No, that's anti-tremor.
Anti-amp.
Soft. Yeah.
I read that wasn't software. Good for large amplitude tremor. Is that true? Because I
that
think
is
I have
true. There is,
large amplitude.
What Liftware does is on their website, it has a page that you can download that what it does is it has different circles with dots in the middle of them, and it has you hold a pin over that dot. And if you hold the pen over that dot and it stays within the circle, it tells you if it would without a doubt work for you or it might work for you but not all the time or, you know, if it really goes outside of the actual largest circle, it's probably not going to work. So in that respect, with those large amplitude tremors, it may not.
Oh, thank you. I didn't know that was available. Thank you so
yes,
much.
Yes, yeah, it's on their website, and you can print it out, and it's a quick little test that you can see if the liftware might be something to pursue. And I, like I said, I would
very
always
good.
try it before you buy.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Great, thank you. Okay, next question for Kelly. We probably have time for about two more questions. Hello? Hello.
Yes, hello. I'm Zenya from Canada.
Go ahead and ask a question.
You spoke about biofeedback. How do you use biofeedback once your tremor starts?
Basically, with biofeedback, it's just really it's looking at body temperature. It's looking at a lot of use of that relaxation and being aware. So really with that biofeedback, it's kind of what I kind of threw in with some of those relaxation things of knowing what is it that might make those tremors worse and what can you do to get yourself in a good spot to minimize that anxiety or minimize that stress.
So once you start shaking, if you are lifting a cup or a spoon, how do you take that time to make that stop?
That, in the moment of that task, might not be where it would be the most effective. I think in doing that, what we have to look at then is how can we modify that task? You know, because the thought is these principles are used prior to trying to get involved in any task. So it's looking at methods of helping get that body so relaxed that when you go to do something, it's not a concern. Am I making sense there?
Yes, you are. So you are saying, how does biofeedback work? Is it meditation before you start a task?
Yes, it's doing whatever it takes in the sense of meditation, form of just overall exercise, whatever is useful for you to get your body in a relaxed state before attempting to do any type of task that may influence that tremor.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, let's do one more question, then we're going to have to wrap up our call. So one more question for Kelly.
Okay, talk to it. Talk to
Hello?
It.
Hello?
Hello? Go ahead and ask your question.
I have a question.
Okay.
Is someone in the future going to talk more about medication? And if there's anything new out there, is this something that's going to come up eventually?
Actually, I can answer that one. If you have, the first teleconference that we did was on diagnostic and treatment options for essential tremor. If you have access to a computer, you can go to essentialtremor.org, and that recording is online, and you can listen to it there. There's also a lot of information on our website about different medications and treatment options. Unfortunately, there really isn't anything, like Kelly mentioned, for OT stuff and physical therapy stuff that's dedicated for just ET. There also isn't anything just dedicated for essential tremor medication-wise. So we're hoping that, you know, something in the future comes out, but right now it's a lot of the same stuff that you've read about for the last 5 or 10 years, unfortunately. Okay, well, thank you all for joining us today. That's about all the time we have. So wanted to say thank you for participating in the call. Hopefully you enjoyed the information we presented today. Also want to say thank you to Kelly. She was a great presentation, and hopefully you found that information to be helpful for you. If you want to go to essentialtremor.org, there is a tremendous amount of information on coping techniques and assistive devices on our website. Just go to our website and click on the Coping with Essential Tremor button, and you can find all that information. So thank you again for joining us on the call. We hope you will consider donating to the IETF so we can continue to offer these free educational programs along with funding research grants and increasing ET awareness. So good night, and thank you for joining us, and hopefully you can join us for our next teleconference, which we'll probably do in the first quarter of 2017. Hope you have a good evening, and thanks again for joining us and your support of the IETF. Good night.